I love the Bible. The Bible, when I was in college, we had a class that it took, and it was Baptist history. And in that Baptist history, one of the required readings was a small kind of pamphlet-like book, and it was called The Trail of Blood. And The Trail of Blood basically goes into detail, a little bit of detail, about the history of the Bible and what it took for our generation to have a copy of the Bible in our hands. We're very fortunate that we have multiple Bibles that are at our fingertips. For me, I don't know how many Bibles I have. I have several of them. Each one means a little bit different. I have one that Pastor Shear gave me on my ordination when I go to ordained. I have this one here that I preach out of that Pastor Shear gave me before I went to Bible college. And I have one that my father-in-law gave me. I have one that my wife gave me. I've one my parents gave me. One time my parents went to pastor school in Indiana, and they came back and they were so excited because they were bringing back a Bible for us, and they gave me this Bible, and I looked at it and I said, I don't want it. And I don't know how it happened, but somehow they ended up getting a New King James Bible, and they thought it was King James, but it said the New King James Bible. And I said, I don't want it. And we ended up throwing it away because it's not whole. But I love the Bible. I have many Bibles. I have the Bible on my iPad. It makes it nice and easy for when I'm studying. I can flip back and forth between the program I use to hold on my sermons and then from the Bible and copy and paste and all that. I have the Bible on my phone. There's times that I've been at work, and I'll just take it out, and I'll flip it open, and I'll read it. It's nice that it'll actually, if I'm lazy, I could put in an earbud, and it'll actually read for me. But it's enjoyable. We have the Bible at our fingertips. It used to not be that way. It used to be that there was one Bible kept at the church, chained up. It wasn't translated. So unless you were fluent in Hebrew and Greek, Latin, all that good stuff, you really didn't know what it said. You were dependent upon the person speaking to tell you if it was true or not. Which is why you get some denominations that broke off that don't teach the entire Bible. And the people had no idea. They would talk about sprinkling for baptism. They didn't know. And we're very fortunate. We have the Word of God. And there are men and women that have given their lives so that we can have the Bible today translated in our language. And when you read through some of that, you have Fox's Book of Martyrs and other historical books that you can read, you can go back and look at that and you can see the millions of people that have died because of the fact that they were a Christian. And many of them because of translating the Word of God. They would take them and burn them to the stake. Depending on how much they disliked you depended on how they would burn you at the stake. If you were a Christian that just had a copy of it and the punishment came out that you'd be put to death at the stake, they would get dried up pieces of wood to put it in and then start it up and they'd light it on fire. And because it was dried, it would go quick and it'd be not as bad as some others. You had others that translated the Bible and that worked hard to try and get it into the people's hands, and they hated them because of it. And instead, what they would do is they would get green branches and such, and they would put that in, and they would use that, and they would light it on fire, and they'd get it going. But because of the type of wood that they used, it didn't engulf them in flames, and it would sit there and would eat away at their feet and work its way up. And a lot of times they died of smoke inhalation or shock. And it was a very lengthy process. They would put it in the center of the town, and they'd watch everybody, have everybody watch so that they knew what was going on. There's stories of pastors that they would take and build a small little shack of wood, and they would chain the pastor and his family inside of the place and light it on fire. They say that they even had church members that would be under conviction, and they would jump in and say that they'd rather die with their pastor than live in a place that did not have religious freedom. We're fortunate. We have the Word of God. I can stand up here and I can open it up and I can say certain things, and I don't have to worry about someone walking in and arresting us because of the fact that we're reading the Word of God. Of course, it's not been that way. And we need the Bible more than ever. We need to be students of the Bible. We don't. It's one thing to read the Word of God. And I'm in favor. Read the Word of God. We put it in the bulletin. Read the Bible through in a year. And that's great if you can do it. But it's one thing if we sit there and we just read through, okay, I'm going to just read through my chapter, and then once I'm done, I set my Bible down and I feel good because I read the Bible. We should study the Word of God, not just read it. But find out what it means. Some words in here we may not understand. We may have to get a dictionary. You may have to find out what it actually means. We have to study it. That's why a lot of people get off and there's people that believe in tongues. Why? Because they didn't study the Bible. They read it and they took a verse and they said, well, this is what it must mean, rather than studying it and saying, okay, here is the full meaning of speaking in tongues. It's there if you just read it and look for it, rather than just taking one portion of Scripture out of context and building off of it and go. We have to study it. Why do we have to study it? If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. If you watched the Republican debate last night, you would have seen some of those things in there. Boasters, blasphemers, people that have blasphemed God. Just do a little research on the candidates. You'll find out a whole bunch. So that's in our Republican debate of people that are supposed to be presidential hopefuls. I dare say that our United States of America is in pretty bad shape. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of fake Christians out. They play the part, but that's all it is. They have a form of godliness. They look like it, but inside, it's not there. Denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, even learning, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest on all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known thy doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, in Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's why we need the Word of God. Right there. He put that in there saying, this is why you need the Bible. Why is that? Because we're living in some perilous times. The country that is today is not like the country that my grandpa grew up in. It's changed. Dr. Williams said it many times. He sees more skin in one day than his father did in a lifetime. It's changed. It's different. And we need the Word of God. Satan wants to dilute the gospel. He wants to dilute it. He wants to change it. Why? Because once it starts to change, it loses its power. For instance, if you were to read Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38, you find the story of Philip. And it says, and as they went on their way, him and the Ethiopian eunuch, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That's verse 36. Verse 37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Most translations, including the NIV, verse 37 does not exist. The most important one, where he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His profession of faith, it's gone. It doesn't exist. They wrote it out. If you were to read it, it would say, as they went their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's a lot different. Why? Because they took out the part of Jesus Christ. It is diluted. And Satan knows that, and so he wants to water it down. He wants to change it. My Uncle Ammon, it's just my mom's uncle, he was a brilliant man. He went over to China as a missionary before the communists came in. And when he was over there, the communists took control. They marched him and a bunch of people out of China. And he went to Taiwan, served as a missionary there for, I believe, over 30 years. After that, he went to work, I think it was at Stanford, wasn't it? And he taught, was it Latin and Greek? He's fluent in Greek and Hebrew. And one day I was sitting on the couch, and my uncle was there, and I said, Uncle Ammon, I said, what Bible did you read out of? And he said, well, Rick, I read out of the Hebrew and the Greek, the original text. I thought, man, sorry, but I'm not that smart. And I said, which translation is the same as what you read? And he said, there's only one, and it's the King James. That's it. Other might be easier reading, but if you want to read the same thing I read, it's the King James. It's the word-by-word translation. We have to have it. Why? Because we live in perilous times. I mean, it's pretty sad that we have a judge, Judge Scalia from the Supreme Court, passes away, and it's not even 5 minutes, and they're already jockeying for somebody else to take control of that spot. And they're already trying to push their way and see who's going to get it and what's going to happen. There's no consideration of the family, of his wife. I think he had, was it 8 or 9 children? No consideration there, his grandkids. This is a man that served his country for a number of years, the longest member of the Supreme Court, passes away. And how do we thank him? Who are we going to get to put in there? A liberal, to swing it back and forth, whatnot. We don't care. And it just goes to show you that our country is so twisted around, and you would think that we would take and say, boy, feel for his family. Let's not even discuss that right now. Well, people could debate whether or not the president should elect somebody to try and get into there or whatnot. I'm not saying that. But the family has some peace, but we don't care about that. We're so concerned about other things. When you have a judge like that, that was such a brilliant man that studied the Constitution, and nobody even cares. It's sad. But our country is in a spot where they are trying to take what the Bible says is wrong and make it acceptable. Abortion. It's accepted. I was reading in the paper about somebody down in Bozeman that was suing healthcare because of the fact that they didn't get the right information about their child and how it had this disease. And if they would have known that the child had the disease, they would have gotten an abortion. And her daughter was 5 years old when this happened. I would have aborted it if I would have known that it wasn't going to be as healthy as other kids. That's the society we live in. We live in a society where they're pushing and saying that it is okay for a man to marry a man. It is accepted for a woman to marry a woman. And now, even in the state of Montana, we have a couple that's trying to legalize the fact that they want to have plural marriages. That's the society that we have. We're talking about in Sunday school today. It's nothing to hear the Lord's name in vain anymore. Whether it be on TV, whether it be on just local stations, or whether it be in a newscast. It is nothing to hear the Lord's name taken in vain. I was telling about how my wife and I went to a hockey game. She had to go down and tell these probably 13, 14-year-old girls, hey, would you please stop swearing? My boys are sitting right behind you and can hear it. That's what they're raised up in. They don't know any better. That's what they taught. That's what they hear. To them, it's normal. To them, there's nothing wrong with it. They didn't see anything wrong. That's the society we live in. This society is accepted where it says, wear whatever you want. Dress however you want. Look however you want. It doesn't matter. If guys have a problem with it, they shouldn't look at it. That's our society. They've pushed the envelope of the type of movies that they're putting out. They're trying to centralize everything. Even in we've heard of places where they're trying to censor pastors and what they say. Already, a pastor cannot endorse a political person from the pulpit. Can't do it. I cannot stand here and say you should vote for and then fill in the blank. I can't say it. I can get in trouble. Now, whether you agree with that or not doesn't matter. But they're pushing the envelope all the time. That's the society we live in. We have to have the Word of God. Why? Because what happens with us? We look at society and what is accepted, and if we don't know the doctrine and the teachings of the Word of God, how can we decipher of what is right and what is wrong? Sin is still sin. Abortion is sin. Read the Old Testament. It's Thursday. Talking about if a man hurts a woman with child and she loses it, that's where you get the verse right after that. Life for a life. An eye for an eye. It's clear. It is clear about homosexuality. It is clear about bestiality. If it happens, the person doing it is put to death, the animal's put to death. You know, I was at work, and when I was working at Intel, I worked a 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock shift. With a computer, there was two computers that the security teams used. Okay? We had one computer that the day side used, one computer that the swing used, and then the night shift supervisor, assistant supervisor, would use either one. Okay? I came in on a Saturday, fired up my computer, and I saw there was a disk that was left in there. For security, sometimes what happens is they'll leave reports on there that we have to check. Different things have happened throughout the day. So I clicked on a file, and unbeknownst to me, the person that was the night shift assistant supervisor had some pictures of bestiality on it. I gave it to his supervisor and said, "This is unacceptable." Of course, he lost his job, and I'm so grateful. But that's out in our world today. That's what we live in. And there are people that think that there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. They are delusional. Why? There's no foundation that they have for anything. The Word of God is our foundation. It is our basis. We have to have it because from it we can know how we're supposed to live. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The purpose of the Word of God says right there, number one, it's for our doctrine. Doctrine is a principle or position or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or system of belief. It's our doctrine. What we believe and why we believe it. What happens? When we don't study the Word of God, we're told what to believe, but we don't know why we believe it. Case in point, as a teenager, I heard rock and roll music is bad. Okay. Why? Because it's of the devil. Okay? Why? And sometimes we fall short and don't explain what we believe and why we believe it. All we hear is, well, that's what I was told. That's what I know. And so these are the things that I can and can't do. Why can't I hold hands with a girl? Well, because the Bible says so. Where? It's there somewhere. Find it. Well, it says it's not good that a man should touch a woman. But that's about it, though. And nobody goes in and there's no teaching of why we believe what we believe. Instead, there's sometimes that you'll hear, especially certain pastors, if you look on TV and stuff like that, all they are motivational speakers. They take one verse out of context and then they blow it up and say, this is what I'm going to go off of. And there's no meat to it. There's no Bible. I remember I was talking with Pastor Shear once, and I had a sermon that I preached. I read my opening passage of Scripture, and then from that there was not as much scripture in it. And he's like, I was a little concerned. Why? Because he wants the Word of God to be read. Then he said, I listened to your next one, and it was chock full of it. And he said, okay, you're all right. I was like, phew. And it's okay for a pastor to come up and to take a verse and then expound on it and talk about something. But it is on us as individuals to study the Word of God so that we know not only what to believe, but why we believe it. Why? Because I have to train my boys. And if I don't teach them why we believe what we believe, they're not going to get it. And I run the risk of them drifting away because I'm not teaching them why. It's therefore doctrine. The second thing it is therefore is reproof. My dad is a firm believer in capital punishment. I have memory loss because of it. I've suppressed it. I'm sure if I laid on a couch with somebody with a clipboard, it would all come out. I'd have nightmares and wake up in cold sweats if I remember it all. But I remember my dad telling me, and I say the same thing to my boys. He'd say, son, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't do this. But because I love you, I am going to whoop you. And it was bad. I had to go out and find my own switch in the backyard. And he'd say, if it's not a good one, then I'm going to go find one. Can you believe that? You have to go out there and think, okay, is this one going to break right away? Can it get to the third one and then break? Or what's going to happen? If I can't get too good of a one because then it really stings. It's psychologically, it messes with you. We'd feed him to the dog when he was done and he didn't know it. Where's that switch you had? It was a good one. A dog got a hold of it. But he loved me. So what did he do? The reproof is there. It is that strong correction for when we've done wrong. The punishment. Thirdly, it is there for correction. This part of correction is not like reproof. Sometimes, there are times when my dad would say, you need a whooping for that. And sometimes, I just needed to be brought back in line just a little bit. I would drift just a little bit. They'd say, hey, tighten it up there. Yes, sir. And I'd bring back in line. Just like with your car. You take your car in. God was talking about this. About getting your tires rotated and all that, but then you got to take it a step further sometimes. You got to get an alignment. Why? Because sometimes it pulls just a little bit. And if you leave it alone, that car will continue to just drift and pull. I had a truck. I loved that truck. It was a moneymaker of a truck, too. I had a 94 Dodge Dakota Sport. But when I first got back from college, my dad was driving it to work one day, and the Chevy Cavalier decided that it would plow into the back of it going about 35, 40 miles an hour. And it pinched my bumper underneath the bed. It slammed the truck bed into the cab and dented it, and it totaled out the truck. And I got the money for it, and I'm like, okay. I kept driving it. And then all of a sudden, I'm coming home from skiing with one of the deacons at a time. His name was Sean Palmer. And he said, hey, there's cops out in front of your house. Get up there. Somebody had spun out of control and slammed into my truck, and they hit the truck up against the curb. Great. Okay, so now I'm driving this truck, and because the tires slammed into the curb, my steering wheel is turned like this. Just to go straight. Eventually, the tire blew because the alignment was so far off. If we don't correct ourselves back in, we get the tire blown out. We can drift just a little bit. Not when we're doing something really bad or wrong, but if we don't bring it back in and say, okay, I've got to get this aligned back up again, it'll just get worse and worse. The damage gets even worse. Eventually what happened was the axle on that tire broke and snapped. So I sold it for someone for $500 or something like that, told them what was wrong with it. They're bringing the tow truck in. He pulls it up. Somehow it slipped off, slammed forward. Another insurance claim, but it was a good truck. Made a lot of money. But the correction is there to realign us back with how God wants us to live. And then it's there for instruction in righteousness. Somebody asked me, how do you get your children to obey like they do? We work with them. We instruct them. The Bible says, train up a child. Train means it takes work over and over and over again. Son, I just talked to you about this. Here we are again, having the same conversation. It takes time. It takes a lot of instruction. Instruction, not just how to live, but instruction in righteousness. My boys, they're not perfect. They're commander boys. What do you expect? But we work with them. And I have to train them. I have to teach them. My job is to instruct them. I've got to take the Word of God and teach them the Bible. And the Bible is there to instruct me. One of the things that we've been talking about in our family devotions is over in 2 Peter, where it talks about how we're supposed to add to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Knowledge we get from the Word of God. It is our instruction. It is our owner's manual. When I got my Traverse, drove it for a little bit, all of a sudden, I realized my taillight was out. So I go in the back and I look at it, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pop this out. Looking, and everything. Finally, I walk over to the manual. Get it out, flip to the page of taillights, and it's right there. A piece of cake, easy fix. Popped it out, put a new one in. Done in a matter of seconds. Then my headlight went out. So I went back to the owner's manual because I popped the hood in the Traverse. Tucker's smiling. He had to replace yours too. Yep, he knows. When I had my truck, when I was in college, I had an 84 Chevy Silverado. It literally was pop the hood, take the light out, put it back in, you're done in 30 seconds. That's about it. Here I am taking this owner's manual, flipping it to the page of the front light, having to crawl underneath, pop out all these bolts to take the cover off of the whole part, reach my hand up in, grab the housing unit, twist it, turn it off. I think it took like a half hour just to get it done. Couldn't reach from it from the top. You had to go underneath. But I found out how to do it. Now if it happens, I know what to do. Why? I read the owner's manual. Here's our owner's manual. But what do? I get back to it. I read it when it's convenient, when I have time, instead of making time. We don't look at the instruction manual and read and say, what do I need to correct? Where have I been drifting? We just expect to hear it Sunday. That's about it. We have to get into the Word of God. We have to let the Word of God get into us. Because we live in perilous times. Our world is messed up. It is twisted. It thinks that the wrong is right. and the right is wrong. So we have to have the Word of God to instruct us how we're supposed to live. We have to get into it, read it, study it, so that we can know how to change our lives to line up how God